Hello, guys. Welcome to the Bobby D'Souza Show. This is Nishita Santosh Shetty, your today's host for the show. For those who all are wondering why I am blabbering today and where is Bobby D'Souza? So guys, I am the one who's going to talk today because I love talking. And I am talking. So guys, for those who know Bobby D'Souza and for those who don't know Bobby D'Souza, this is Bobby D'Souza for you guys. Bobby D'Souza is a keynote speaker, podcaster, and the author of the one and only Fallen to Rise. He's inspired over 28,000 people's life face-to-face and over 2 lakh people online. He's been featured in Bright Talk, Teacher CEO, Medium, and Youth Ki Awaaz. He's been in this industry for 20 years. So now this is what you guys know Bobby D'Souza as. Now let me show you Bobby D'Souza through my eyes. Bobby D'Souza is a wonderful friend of mine and a lovely mentor to me. I know him as a highly passionate person in what he does. He shows 100% commitment towards his work and is always out there giving his best to people. He's always there helping in community. Without wasting a minute actually, let me introduce you the one and only Bobby D'Souza. Hello, sir. How are you doing?
Hey, Nishita Shetty. Good to see you. And thank you so much for the wonderful introduction. It means a lot, but it's a pleasure to see you. You look all energetic and your energy is contagious, actually. So I'm picking some of it.
Thank you, sir. It's always so good to see you. And I'm so happy over here today. So, and I want to really take this opportunity to be thankful and really, really grateful for offering me this opportunity, actually, to interview you on your one of the most exciting journey of life, like your book, Fallen to Rise.
And It's my pleasure.
Thank you, sir. So tell me, let's start about like, how are you today? How are you doing? How's your week been?
I think I'm good. I can say that I'm blessed. I'm alive. I'm thankful for that. You know, there's so much that I have received. And I think I'm thankful. That's the right word. Actually, I'm thankful.
That's really good, sir. So guys, here I am going to interview the author of the book, Fallen to Rise, right? Here, this beautiful face, Bobby D'Souza. So sir, can you tell me, I've been reading this book and I've been finding it really helpful and it's very interesting. And so, right, because you're right here, can you just let us know, when did the idea pop in your head to write your own story?
Actually, I wrote this book in the year 2018, as in it got published in the year 2018, and it took around 3 years for me to write this book. The first time when I started thinking of writing this book, I was traveling in a Mumbai local, and I suddenly started thinking that, you know, every time I go to a seminar, you know, when I'm speaking to live audiences, you know, 500 people, 1,000 people, 1,500 people, when I'm going and speaking to audiences, small groups and large groups, every time I share my story, it inspires people, you know, to a level wherein we see people in tears. You know, somehow people feel that, you know, my story connects to their own struggles. And I was wondering that, you know, where books can go, you know, possibly a video may not be able to go over there. Possibly I could not go over there. And why not share my story, the raw, unfiltered story, to the world around, so that it becomes a message, you know, it helps other people who have gone through similar struggles like me. So I think that's where the idea popped up, actually.
That's really good, sir. And I guess you need to start somewhere to reach to people. And I guess this is a really good medium you chose.
Absolutely.
And for sure, I think it have been a difficult journey all throughout your 3 years, because that's a long commitment.
Actually, this 3 years, I'll tell you, for every writer, when they start writing about the book, you know, I'm this guy who will say that I'm going to write a book. So the first thing is I go up, tell my mom and say, Mom, I'm going to write a book. She can't believe it. She says, oh, okay, all right. I talk to my people who are close ones, my nephew, my niece. I said, I'm going to write a book. Great. Next, I put down a status on Facebook. The reason why I put a status on Facebook is so that I keep my own commitment to myself. And after I put the status on Facebook, I start writing the book. Very exciting. One chapter over, second chapter over, third chapter over. I go around showing it to all my friends. As soon as I start reaching the 10th chapter, the 20th chapter, then I start realizing that my creativity is somehow lost. And I feel like a writer's block. You know, I don't know what to write. Or there are questions that come to my mind, and many times I actually felt like, you know, I'll not be able to complete it. Yeah. While I was writing the book, I was traveling from places to places. I was also inspiring people, and in the evening, every day writing. So sometime I felt like giving up, but I'm so glad that the reason why Fallen to Rise has reached you, and you're right now in UK, and the book is there with you, is because I chose not to give up, and I just completed the book, and I'm so thankful that I completed it.
So here you are setting a clear example of the power of not giving up, sir. Yes. Kudos to you. So can you tell me, like, how did the title Fallen to Rise come in your head? Like, out of so many titles, your name could have been a title, but why only Fallen to Rise?
Yeah. So actually, that's a nice question. Initially, this is an interesting behind the scene. In fact, I have not spoken about this to almost anybody. Initially, when we were thinking of writing the book, and I remember I was at Mahindra and Mahindra's organization, and I was just planning to write a book. So I was asking the people from the team, what should be the title of the book? And then I told them, you know, one of the titles I thought was, you know, From Ordinary to Extraordinary. That was the name of the book that we initially thought about. From Ordinary to Extraordinary is the title of the book, I thought. Then I thought that possibly the book could be Bobby D'Souza. But then I said, you know, who's Bobby D'Souza? And like Shakespeare said, you know, what's there in the name? What's more important is through the book, if people can read it because they get a message that can help them to be inspired, to know that if this guy can do it, I can do better. So therefore, Fallen to Rise actually is a story of ridiculous, pathetic failures that a lot of people may not even want to talk about. Stories which will bring in elements wherein, you know, customers which actually pick me by the collar and throw me outside, literally physically pick me up and throw me outside. I still remember that I went to a college and in the north of India, and I entered the premises and I met the dean of the college. And the dean, and I told him, listen, sir, I would love to meet your students and inspire them. And I was not really a known person that time. And the principal of the college said, excuse me, are you Sandeep Maheshwari? By the way, for those who don't know, Sandeep Maheshwari is one of the top amazing motivational speakers. And I'm a big fan. I've learned a lot from him. So he asked me, are you Sandeep Maheshwari? I said, no, I'm not. But are you a celebrity? I said, no, I'm not. So I said, all right. I said, I'm not a celebrity yet. I smiled, I moved out. And as I walked on that road alone, I don't know whether I'll ever be a celebrity, but what I do know for sure is every day I've had the privilege of having conversation, beautiful conversation with people who are feeling hopeless, people who are feeling, I just want to give it up, to people who now say that, you know, I want to make something of my life. And Fallen to Rise is that. It's just that.
That's wow. So, sir, tell me one thing. Like, why did you just start writing this book 3 years ago and not much earlier? Like, when you were still in this industry. So, what made you do it?
See, actually, honest confession is, I didn't really believe that I could write. You know, it's one thing to speak and have a conversation, but when it comes to writing a book, and writing a book which is so many chapters, I had questions whether I could even write it, in fact. And I had this doubts in my mind. And I don't know, you know, some people who are listening or hearing or watching this video, you might be wondering whether you can write a book or whether you could make a podcast or whether you could make a video. And I had those questions as well. And therefore, I couldn't believe that I could write. But then I realized that the only way I would know that I can write a book is by actually writing. So the honest truth is, and I've learned this, that you don't have to be great to start, right? But you got to start somewhere, right? And when you start somewhere, who knows, your work could become great, but you got to start somewhere. So in my own imperfections, I started somewhere. I researched, I spoke to a lot of people, and I'm so glad for people who genuinely helped me. I spoke to people in Italy, spoke to people in Paris, I spoke to people in the US, and I did a lot of research before writing. But what is very interesting is I did not read any other person's book before writing the book. Do you know why?
I would like to know why.
The reason why I specifically did not read any other person's book is because I did not want to be influenced by someone else writing. I wanted to just be me.
Just like very raw, like raw you.
Just the raw me. And if I would read somebody else's work, then I would try to copy them. And that's one of the reasons why for almost a year, I tried not reading any other book that inspired me to write like them.
So I really like that. It's a very, so you mean Fallen to Rise is a very raw version of you, sir. You have clearly set an example of, you don't have to be someone great to do something great, sir. And that's really good. And that's a really great learning for the day, for today. So sir, tell me one thing, like as you told me, in the past 3 years, obviously every day you didn't like get up and you were like, oh, let me write this book. Like, you know, obviously you won't have the same thought every day. So who was your inspiration for 3 years? Like, you know, or who did you have in mind when you were writing the book? Because there has to be someone to keep going.
Yes. See, honestly, when I started writing the book, it was very exciting. But once you get into 10th, 12th, 15th, 20th, 25th, 30th chapter, you know, your energy starts draining, your creativity somehow feels like it's almost sucked out. And the problem was, I was working every day. I'm traveling to so many places and in the hotel room, you know, wherever I am going to different places, I'm sitting down in the night with the laptop and writing down a chapter. So it was not very easy, specifically because I had to manage time. But what really got me going was, I have read books by amazing people. You know, people like Tony Robbins, people like John Maxwell, you know. John Maxwell has written so many great books. My thought was, you know, how could they do it, you know? And it's in the power of being consistent. One thing that really worked for me, and it could work for anybody, is you think big, but you start small. You think big, but you start small. What this means basically is, you want to write an Amazon bestseller, but you start by writing one page a day. It does not look very glorious. It does not look very glamorous. Okay, but if you write one page a day, by a week, you've written 7 pages. Now calculate that into a year. So every day I was able to write one chapter or at least 1 or 2 pages. And you know, after a period of time, I realized I'm almost at the end and I'm at the final chapter. And once I penned down and said, oh, that's the final chapter, I was delighted. Because more than anybody else, whether people read this book or not, I realized I got better than myself. I progressed as a person, which I think is more important than anything else.
Oh, wow. So, sir, you have referred in your book, Fallen to Rise, a lot of times that you can't be successful on your own. You need to have a network to be your net worth. So, sir, what does this line mean? Like, can you just let us know?
See, honestly, you know, when we start building a career at the age of 18, 17, 19, we somehow feel that, you know, with our youthful energy, with our strength and with our, you know, with our looks and anything else around us, we think we can do it alone. And because I work with so many people in the corporate world as well, a lot of people believe that it is weakness to ask other people for help. My observation is, people think that if I ask other people for help, that's weakness. But if I do it all alone, I'm independent, then, you know, I will be successful. That's what people think. But honestly, when I look back at my own life and over the last 20 years, if I've grown even to one bit, it's because there have been people who've helped me. Some people whom I've met, some people who I have not met. I was just talking about John Maxwell or Tony Robbins or Sandeep Maheshwari or anybody who inspired me when I read their books. If they would have chosen not to write the book or release that video, I would have never learned from them, correct? So they were my help. They were my virtual mentors. Okay. I had mentors in Mumbai, you know, when I was a very small boy, my father left me and went away. Even today, whether my father's alive or dead, I don't have an idea. And when you're 18, 19, and you go through all the youth struggles, you know, struggles that you, and the questions that you go through, who do you go through? Because you don't have a man as a role model. And as a guy, you need a role model of a guy as well, right? Apart from the wonderful mother that I had. So then I had mentors, you know, and these mentors, I remember, I used to go to this guy called Donald, and I used to, he used to call me at home and we used to sit down and he used to listen to my blabber for 1 hour without really saying much. And he used to just listen to me. And at the end of it, he used to give me a hug and he would help me. And that somehow helped me to, you know, become a better person. If I didn't have mentors, I would not be where I am today. yes, you can do things alone, you can be independent, you can grow. But if you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room. And you need a lot of people who are smarter than you. Because if you only depend on your knowledge, and that's what we talk in Fall into Rise, you know. The other example I want to give you is my own niece. Her name is Ruhi. Okay. A lot of people know about her, and I always talk about it in my seminars.
I love Ruhi too. I love Ruhi so much.
Yes, absolutely. So, you know, in 2011, I went through one of my most painful time of my life, which impacted me a lot. You know, I was suicidal. And that's the honest truth. A lot of people can't believe it, but I was suicidal. I wanted to just finish my life. And guess who was my compassionate friend? A 10-year-old little child. She would make me sleep on her lap. And she would wipe my tears and she would put her hand on my head. And she would write in my diary and say, "Oh God, I pray that my uncle, my mama," in Hindi say, "he gets better." Now, I'm glad that I had people around me, my mom who supported me during the worst time of my life. I tell you, we need people in our life. If you think you can fight your battle alone, after some time you will get into depression, or you're going to fall off, or you are going to give up on your goals. You need mentors, you need friends, you need genuine people who can help you. I think that's my answer. You can't do it alone. Your network is your net worth. Exactly. You got to find people.
Yeah. The circle of friends, the circle of people around you decides, has an impact on you a lot. It decides where your path is, where your thinking is, where your thinking lies, everything.
You're right. You're right. And Nishita, yeah, you yourself have had an experience with me. You've known me for almost 1.5 years. You've seen certain changes that has come in you. And that's happened because you are with this group of people. You're of course with me, but also you're with a group of people whom you're connecting with, you're talking with, you're learning with. And as a result, am I right or wrong?
Surely, sir. I've been, I love our community, to be honest, because it has made me introduced to such wonderful people around, all around India. And the more special thing about the community is the age factor. Like, I'm learning from all the age groups. Like, for example, Ruhi, she's like my sister's age, obviously. So my sister and her, they're always up there. And they're giving me the small, small learnings that, like, you know, I might have missed during their age. So right, to learn from that, from them, having that perspective, is very different. Yes. And then on the other side, when I'm learning maybe from Vinita or maybe from you, guys who are elder from me. So I'm getting, you know, different perspectives. It's making my learning more interesting. And that's what I'm learning.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful.
So, sir, I wanted to ask you one very particular thing about the book that I read, that missed a message. So what does this line particularly tell? Like, what is this?
So missed to a message. You know, so I think what I will do is, for all the audience who are listening and even for you, mess basically is a mess, right? Nobody likes mess, right? People don't like to live in a mess. But what if that mess is actually the thing that you've got to go through so that it becomes a message to people, you know? And when I was 15 years old, I used to, you know, do manual labor job. I used to do construction work, and I used to get something like 90 rupees a day. Okay, sometimes 50 rupees a day. A lot of people ask me the question, you know, why, Bob, would you do something like a manual labor? You can speak quite well. What happened? So the story is, my father, he was a wonderful singer, just like my sister is, Neetu is.
And even you are a perk. Even you are a beautiful singer.
I can sing. So my father was a wonderful singer. He was an artist, but he landed up nowhere because he was not focused. And he was very abusive. He used to hurt our family, you know, in ways that I cannot share. But it is definitely there in the book. And my father told my mom that, you know, you go back to your native place, Assam, and I'll be there soon. And he put her in the train, the three children, my two sisters and me and my mom. Mom somehow had an indication that possibly he may leave me, but she still could not believe it after 11 years of marriage. They got into the train. He said, "Bye." And then when my mom went back to my grandmother's place, my grandmother was overjoyed and also shocked. "How come you arrived without any intimation earlier?" And then the wait started. 15 days, 20 days, 30 days. One fine day, a letter arrives. And my mom has a letter in her hand. And she cries as her hand shivers, because that day my father had written that I'm parting ways, I'm no longer with you. And he left. And he's never come back. Even today, whether my father's alive or dead, we have no idea. That's how the story started. It almost sounds like a Bollywood movie, doesn't
it? Karan Johar would be really pleased to have your story, I would say.
So that's where I started. And the first job I did when I was 15, my mom slogged so hard. She worked two jobs a day. She worked like crazy. And we stayed in a rented apartment in Mumbai. And you know, when you have a single mother, you know, who's got nobody to take care of, Mumbai can be difficult. And this mother of mine, she took care of us single-handedly, never left us, never remarried. She chose to sacrifice her life for our children. What I sometimes wonder is, when we were this 3-4 years old, and after she would go to work, come back, feed us delicious food, you know, and then we would go to sleep. I don't know how many pillows she must have wet. I don't know the extent of sacrifice she's gone through. And it is because of this lady, my mother, that I was able to learn a lesson of that your past does not have to be your present. That all the mess that you go through in our life, they don't happen by chance. Even from that, you become a message. Today, I have had the delight of being that one laborer who was on the roads of Mumbai, to today inspiring, you know, more than 28,000 people face to face, more than 2 lakh plus people online, 6,500 students face to face. Fallen to Rise, the story actually gives people a message that if this idiot can do it, you know, if this idiot can do it, we can too. That's the family, by the way. That's the mother and the family.
Kisi ke nazar na lage, sir.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Kaal tika laga liya maine.
Thank you so much for your kind words. So the thing is, mess to a message. All of us go through our own individual, unique mess. But the question is, if our perspective can change, and even from the mess, one day it becomes a message for someone else. And I'm so glad that it has become become a message for so many people who need help.
It does, sir. And you know, sir, like, there are so many things we hear in life, and you know, many people just feel that, oh, these things are just to be heard or just to be said. Oh. Right? And like, when you were saying this story, only one thing was again and again popping in my head was the line that darkest tunnels lead you to the most beautiful paths.
Yes.
And here you are, sir, sitting with me today. Yes, I'm talking to you, talking with you about your experiences, learning from it. And it's just so beautiful to hear. Okay. And even when you say, sir, you feel like you have grown a lot, right? Even in this book, when you say that this is everything that you wanted to be, everything that you have is in this book.
Actually, I love the line that you said, that, you know, sometimes the most difficult path leads us to the most beautiful destinations, right? Sometimes the darkest night, you know, in the darkest night, the stars shine the brightest.
And bingo.
Yeah, I think that is so, so true, that, you know, sometimes we are so focused on the darkness around us that we can't raise our head up and say, fallen to rise, look up, man. Rise up, fallen to rise, check that out, look at the stars up, they can guide you too, right? So sometimes, you know, the worst part of your life are a gift in a way. They actually are like the crossroad of a large transformation of your life, is what I think. You know, the worst part of your life are the biggest crossroad of your life. 2011 was one of the darkest year of my life. It was one of the most difficult. I've realized all the success that I've got till now have only happened mainly. It's not that I've not done a lot of work earlier. I have. But 2012 to 2020 has been my biggest progress. And it is through the crossroads of your life that a transformation happens. But sometimes, you know, we need to just change perspectives. You know? If you focus on, you know, things are not going to work for us, it will never work for us. But if you say that, what am I learning from it? What is the lesson I'm learning? After we've grumbled, we've sulked, and we've complained, and we've wished about it, beyond that, we get perspective. So,
yes, sir. And I guess it's only when we teach ourselves, we are self-taught to be here. We can only grow when we teach what we need to do, right, sir?
That's right. And the best thing is we got to teach ourselves, I think, more than anybody else. You know, before you become an educator to the world, you got to teach yourself. You got to keep your own commitment. And sometimes it is so difficult, you know, because, you know, people like us, and there are so many amazing people that I really respect. People like us, you know, people expect us to always be this energetic guy, positive guy, powerful guy, moving, inspiring a lot of people. But sometimes we feel like not getting up. Sometimes we feel like not brushing our teeth. Sometimes we feel like, what the hell am I even doing? Why am I even doing this? Those are questions that comes. And it is absolutely all right if you go through the fall. But the most important thing is, after you've sulked, after you've bitched, after you've gossiped, come on, rise. That's what exactly.
It's beautiful, sir. Very beautiful. Loved it. Mm. Yes, sir. So I was just thinking, like, there are almost 77 chapters in this book. That's beautiful, right? Book.
You actually counted 77 chapters, actually.
I did. There are 77 chapters. But yeah. The good thing is, it's so good to read, like, you know, and they're not like, it just keeps you hooked up because it's just connecting. So tell me, what is your favorite chapter from this book? Because I'm very sure it would have been very difficult to have one very favorite chapter from this all lot.
I think there are quite a number of chapters, but there are quite a number of good chapters that I really love. And it is a little difficult to basically tell you, you know, one specific chapter.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing about this book is, it's got a real story, my story, and then it has got a discovery section where you can basically look at the realization that I had after I went through that experience. So you, not only do you go to a story, but you also go to a time of realization. That, I think, is a good part of the book that people would really love, who love to be inspired and who are looking to develop you know, a powerful mindset. I think one of the chapters that I really love is the section of my book wherein, you know, we had nothing. I'm just saying, literally nothing. No place to stay, nothing much to eat, no one to support. In the midst of that, we had the blanket of the warmth of love of the family. You know, my two sisters, me, my mother, we were so knitted together. There was, you know, we were just together, and that was a warmth of the blanket we had. And I can say this one thing, that when you have nothing in life, even during what we're going through right now, this whole pandemic and all, when you have nothing, sometimes your own family could be the biggest blessing. And if you can just come back together, sort of things, sort of differences, and they could be the warmest blanket that you could spend time with in the coldest weather.
Absolutely.
That, I think, is mine. And the moments that I went through, you know, all those crazy things I've done. The book actually also has got some crazy stuff. For example, you know, I ran away from my boarding when I was in my third standard. And I traveled from Vashi, Navi Mumbai. And I traveled all the way for almost 2 hours, 3 hours. And I was in my third standard, third grade. I could have been lost on the roads. I did not. So there are some crazy chapters. And those who don't have the book, I think you should grab it.
Absolutely, sir. So before we end, and obviously, because I'm the host of the show and I am talking, so it's going to be my decision on which question I would like to ask you at the end. So I would like you to share one of my favorite learnings from you. And I have noticed that learning throughout the book too, about failing forward, sir. So can you let our audience, our lovely target audience, know what do you mean by failing forward?
I think throughout Fallen to Rise, this thought consistently comes again and again and again. You know, fail forward is a term I first heard from John Maxwell. And what is the meaning of fail forward? A lot of people, you know, when they look at the word fail, it's like a stigma. It's like something that people want to shun away from. It's something that people want to run away from. People don't want to talk about failure. In fact, people, when in an organization, when somebody says, did you make a mistake? So most people would just blame someone else, something, some situation, somebody, but not this somebody. It's never me that I made a mistake, because people just feel that, you know, failure is equal to stigma, is equal to embarrassment. But honestly, I've learned over the years that from success, you only get a lot of pride and ego, don't you? Or just a little temporary feeling. But some of the biggest lessons that you can really learn in life is through failures. Because failures humbles ourselves. And when we are humbled, you know, just like a tree, you know, when you look at a tree, and the tree that has got the largest number of fruit, like a mango, for example, you will see that the tree is more slanted and bent down. Okay? The tree that has the maximum fruit will always be a little more bent. The tree that does not have a lot of fruit will stand too tall.
Perfect.
Okay? So, what failure does is basically failure crushes our egos. This pompous and large pride that I and most of us have, you know, it crushes our pride to such a level, and it humbles us. And the best part is, when we are humble, our mind and our heart becomes fertile, which basically means it becomes open to listening to the message, because, you know, you're in a desperate situation. You have no other way out. You're helpless. And when you're helpless, you say, I need help. And when you need help, my friend, you seek help. And you start opening up your hand and say, can I get help? And then there are people who want to help you, or you want to help yourself by asking yourself questions. The biggest failure happens when we do not investigate our failure, Tony Robbins says. And failing forward is that you are able to make a mistake, not be worried about that mistake, and then, you know, learn from it, investigate it, introspect, correct it, and then move forward. So you make a mistake, move forward. You fail, you move forward. You got delays, you move forward. Fail forward is a blessing in disguise. Yeah.
Yes, it is very, very nice. I loved it. So, yeah. Okay, sir.
So what happened? You're somewhere else, I think.
I just got lost so much. What a beautiful learning, sir. This learning always takes my heart. I don't know why, but it's just so realistic. Like, I don't know. I don't have any words for this learning. I always tell you that this is my favorite learning. You know it. So, sir, before we end, I would like to again be really thankful and grateful to you to offering me this wonderful opportunity. It's been a wonderful time talking to you, drinking my tea, and knowing and learning a lot of things from you, as always. So, sir, before we end, would you like to let our audience know, if they're interested, where would they find the book? How can they find the book? And all to you.
Yeah. So I think if anybody is interested to pick a copy of Fallen to Rise, it is easily available on Amazon. Okay. It's available in a hard copy version. It is available, in a Kindle edition. It's also available on Flipkart and, so many other places as well. And there is also a video on YouTube, which gives a little glimpse of what Fallen to Rise is. So Amazon, Kindle, Flipkart is where you can reach me. If you want to be inspired by me and attend one of my live sessions, or want to meet me, have a conversation with me, simply go to www.bobbydisouza.com.
Guys, you can just click on this link and check the book out, read about the book, and know more about it. So, sir, before we end, would you like to say something?
Firstly, Nishita, you are an amazing girl, and thank you for taking out the time to interview me. It was a pleasure, it's a pleasure always knowing you, but it was a pleasure having a conversation about Fallen to Rise. Wishing you the very, very best. And for everybody who's listening, my friend, don't give up. Don't give in. Give it your all.
Thank you, sir. It's always a joy speaking with you. So I would like to say bye to you over here. A sweet goodbye until we meet next time, sir. Take care and bye-bye. Bye, guys.
Take care. Take care.
Thank you for watching us.
See you. Bye.
Sorry.